Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, lived a young woman and her intended, her beloved. Their love was not to be denied. But as sometimes happens, the young woman found herself pregnant. And in an instant, her life, and the life of everyone around her, and indeed of all people around the world, changed forever. What it all meant, she could not tell for sure, but if you've ever been there, or if you've ever been close to someone who has, you know that an unexpected pregnancy is not always cause for celebration. Often, in fact, it's just the opposite. Cause for stigma, scandal, shame, and a terrible sense of loss and loneliness. And so it was for this young woman as her family sent her away to where her pregnancy could develop unnoticed. And when the time came at last for her to deliver her firstborn in an unfamiliar setting, she named the child not Jesus, but Bosul, who is now 30 years old and the mother of 3 of my 4 grandchildren. For even casual churchgoers, the story of Mary, mother of Jesus, has become so familiar and so celebrated that it's easy to gloss over the harsh, stressful reality of what it's like to be young, unmarried, pregnant, and alone. The difficulty of Mary's situation is further clouded for those of us raised in the Western world, where marriage as an institution has declined and single moms have skyrocketed. Traditionally, Mary has been painted as pious, reverent, deferential, submissive, which is another way simply to obscure the awkwardness and embarrassment and hardship of her situation. But my personal connection to a young, unmarried, scared teenage mom in Korea reminds me every year at this time of what an unexpected pregnancy does to upend one's life, shrink one's world, narrow one's options for both mother and child. There is ample and strong correlation between unmarried pregnancy and poverty, lack of education, limited employment and economic potential. Enough so that perhaps this slide is a more accurate portrayal of young Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. What is it that we see on her face? Surprise? Bewilderment? Consternation? Uncertainty? Distress? Disbelief? Whatever the look may be, clearly her concerns are more than simply how or why. Unlike more traditional images of a compliant Mary, there is a look of puzzlement and foreboding in her mouth and eyes, a sense that life is about to change in ways beyond her ability to control. What are you doing to my life and world? A more modern rendition of the moment captures this same sense of apprehension and questioning, that what she is hearing from this strange messenger is not unqualified good news or immediate cause for rejoicing. Perhaps another modern interpretation of the encounter between Mary and Gabriel captures the essence of the moment that we can never anticipate when it is that God will intrude or break in on our lives and what that will all mean for us and for others. So it struck me this week that it was not Mary's passive obedience "Let it be to me as you have said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord." But the extraordinary song that she sings when she enters the home of Elizabeth. A song not about how her life has been turned topsy-turvy in turmoil, but about how God is about to do something astounding and unbelievable for all people. And how she, Mary, gets to be God's partner in this great venture. Instead of seeing her life and world coming to an end, shrinking down to nothing because of this unasked-for child, she sees life opening up in infinitely countless and amazing and unprecedented ways. Earlier this week, I flew to a one-day meeting of the steering committee for Imagine No Malaria, the United Methodist Church's largest life-saving and fundraising campaign in its history. The goal, working alongside others in the world, is to end malaria in sub-Sahara Africa, to do our part in that by raising $75 million. I confess that I went to the meeting this week feeling worn out, having spent the past few months focused on dragging seven unwilling or barely willing congregations into partnership with each other, where the good news of Jesus quickly became overshadowed by tugging and pulling, and where the tasks of management outweighed the joys of ministry. Little by little, over these past weeks, my world had shrunk, even as my responsibilities increased. But as I sat on Tuesday in that small room in a hotel next to the Atlanta airport and listened to the stories of the difference that Imagine No Malaria is already making, my world expanded and my heart exploded. In a few short years that we've been working at this, the number of children dying from malaria in Africa has dropped from one every 30 seconds to one every 45 seconds to now one every 60 minutes. Way too much still. But hear the progress. Infrastructure has been built in Africa, run by Africans, health boards, delivery systems, not just netting, but medicine and training in disease prevention. And of the goal of $75 million, $65 million of it has already been raised, with every reasonable expectation of completing the goal of $75 million in just over a year from now. You're definitely going to hear more about this over the coming year as our annual conference joins others in bringing the campaign to successful conclusion. But today I want to point to a deeper, more fundamental underlying truth that Gabriel's birth announcement to Mary and Mary's willing participation may be rooted in the ordinariness and mundaneness of human life, but are fired and fueled by imagination, by the ability to see beyond all of our usual limits to something richer and grander, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. When we let go of the beliefs and behaviors that block and limit our potential, then the promised birth of Jesus, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Liberator, is already at work in us as a gift of God. Hear Mary's song again, this time from Eugene Peterson's version of it in The Message. "I'm bursting with God news," said Mary. "I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman in all the earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others, God's mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe. God bared his arm and showed God's strength, scattering the bluffing braggarts. God knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. God embraced his chosen child Israel. God remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. Exactly what God promised, beginning with Abraham and continuing up to now. Oh, we're out, though. I had several more slides that I needed to show you this morning, but we're going to end with Mary's song, as we just heard it again. However, let me describe one of those ancient art pieces from the Middle Ages that goes back to the beginning of the sermon that suggests a young mother-to-be encountering the angel Gabriel, wondering what this is about. Mary peers intently into Gabriel's eyes, and Gabriel looks back with the same degree of sincerity. The two of them are apparently oblivious to what the artist has painted over their heads, which is a version of cherubs and other occupants of heaven, all leaning over the edge of heaven's gates, looking down, waiting to see what Mary's answer will be. Will she say yes? Will she agree to be God's partner in renewing the earth and all its inhabitants? Will she let God's promises stir her own imagination into new ways of living and thinking and interacting with others? Today, we know Mary's answer. But today, God waits, and all heaven waits with God for your answer and for mine to move beyond what we can see and touch and know, into the realm of God's Spirit, raising our imagination to new heights and new possibilities. May it be so. And may your answer to God's question be yes. Amen.